Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. So we are living in incredible times. As a guy who's been in the fitness industry for a really long time, as I say frequently, because it's amazing to me how much it's changed in such a short amount of time. Fitness technology is through the roof. You know, years ago when fitness technology just started to take off, I would be trying out everything. You know, companies would send me their newest product. I would try it out. And I have an office in a building with a bunch of different, you know, it's one of these offices where there's lawyers and accountants and psychologists, and a lot of people leave their doors open and, you know, people would poke their heads in and out, talk, whatever. And people would poke their heads into my office and see just this crazy mix of, like, you know, spandex shorts with sensors in them and powders and gadgets and gizmos and all of this crazy fitness-related stuff, whether it was, you know, nutrition or fit tech, whatever it might be. And the common refrain from people was, what the heck do you do for a living? And that has only gotten crazier. I'm almost trying out at least one new product every single day. And it's just, it's so exciting from someone who loves fitness that much. But here's the thing. It's not going to change your life. It doesn't change the most important things, the motivation, the changing of behaviors. I don't care how good your watch is or that your shirt has sensors in it to show you muscle activation or that you can track your sleep or that you can hack your metabolism or that you can, you know, track just about everything or have content streamed into your home. If the why isn't there, none of this matters. And that's the topic for today. I love this topic. And I love the guest I'm going to bring on shortly. This is a guy I've known for a long time. And he is the perfect person to talk about this with, because we are very similar in that we both started working in the gyms years ago in New York City. And then we both moved on to working with different companies and consulting and just trying out all of the stuff I'm talking about. And this guy works for one of the top fitness technology companies. I'm going to leave it at that. But we've seen it all and we've tried it all. And I think his outlook is going to surprise you from someone who, again, works in the field of fit tech. You know, it's incredible for him and I to sit down and talk, because we were in the gyms when it was pen and paper, right? When there was no email. There was no email. Cell phones were just starting to take off back, right when, you know, way back when. And I go way further back than that as well. But this is a really important subject, because you're reading about all of these products that are going to hack your life, right? And do all of those things. It doesn't matter. We are living in a time when every single excuse that I heard for years, they are gone. I hate to tell you that, because, you know, people love to hold on to, I don't have time, I don't have money, I don't have access. You have all of the above now. You have every single reason, obstacle that have been cited over the years, gone. COVID, if you reframe it, has taught us that. You didn't have time to work out? When COVID first hit, I said, now you got time. And then we heard about the COVID-15. I get it. And this is tough love. But the answer is awesome. The solution should be so exciting to you that you don't have to buy that expensive tracker. You can if you want, and it can be super motivating. But no product, is going to change your life in and of itself. You have to change the behavior first. And as Chris Blythe, my guest in just a moment, will be talking about, it's about changing your behavior, making small changes, making one change at a time. Because when you do that, when you control what you can, when you become empowered, when you build your self-efficacy, then it's sustainable, it's doable, it's exciting, and it's for a lifetime. There are no big changes. There are small changes that add up over time that lead to you believing in yourself. Perfect time to take the quick break and bring on our guest, my guest, Chris Blythe, expert in fitness technology, has seen every aspect of the business, fitness business, and knows what it takes. And this is why I love the message he's going to bring to you. Enough. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you exactly what you need to know to make those changes once and for all. We'll be right back. And we are back. I am live in the studio with a friend of mine, someone in the business, and like the perfect person for this show. We started talking in the office and I said, stop talking. We need to record this. So Chris Blythe is someone who, like me, started in New York City years ago, working at the gyms. We'll talk about that. I'll let him give you his quick bio as well. But he's in the fitness tech space and we literally meet every couple months and talk shop. And we talk about fitness tech. So he's a fitness tech entrepreneur. He has done it all in the industry as well, is now working for a big fitness tech company. And I'll leave it at that. But we're going to talk about like how, yeah, there's amazing fitness tech, but it's not solving the problem.
That's right. Thank you, Tom, for having me and for the intro. Nice to be here. Nice to see you. It's been a while. So yeah, as you mentioned, I've been like you in the fitness space for quite some time. I think it's 17 years now, which is frightening but true. Starting out as a personal trainer in New York City and then running a bunch of high-end fitness clubs in the city. Then co-founded a fitness technology company called Lift Session, which is live online personal training and group training. Co-founded that in 2013. And then I've been in that sort of at-home fitness tech space since then, which has been exciting and obviously as of late has blown up and accelerated faster than anything anybody could have anticipated, to say the least. But yeah, as you mentioned, you know, one of the things that I've been sort of, or we've been, I think both of us have recognized is, you know, we're in 2020 and obviously we have COVID going on right now, which kind of makes everything a little weird. But in 2020, there's frankly never been more fitness and nutrition and supplement options out there. There's never been more than we have now. It's unbelievable, from, you know, fitness apps to nutrition apps to meditation apps to diets, you know, from keto to, you know, low carb to, you know, you name it, to countless supplements. So it's never been more, and all these at-home fitness products and services, it's all fantastic and it's all moved in the right direction from a, I think, improvement perspective and getting better and getting more engaging and all that stuff.
There is a but. There's so a big but.
the but is, with all of this that's out there, we still have a huge, huge percentage of our population that's unhealthy. So all of these amazing products, all these amazing services, all these amazing, you know, theoretical diets, at the end of the day, it's not having an impact on a huge, huge, huge percentage of our population. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. So, you know, for you and I, we love our at-home gear, but you know, we're in the minority. We've been in fitness for a long time. We've worked out our whole lives probably, and not everyone is necessarily grew up like that or is engaged like that. There's so many people that have grown up never exercising, never necessarily having sort of the balanced type of diet that you and I have figured out how to achieve. So taking a step back, what I've been looking at and thinking about is really, how do people get healthier? Like how can we have an impact on the majority of people who don't necessarily lead healthy lives or want to lead healthy lives or don't even know they want, you know, they don't even know where to begin, frankly. And to me, what I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen the same, the people that really make changes in their health typically don't just jump into some extreme diet. They don't typically just all of a sudden start training for a marathon and now they're, you know, fit and live a healthy life for the rest of their lives. Most people need to start with something small. And really, it's about habit change. It's really changing some small habits in your life. And if you can stick to that over time, you will start improving your health. And that can mean a million different things. That can be eliminating a bad habit. And what we were chatting about earlier, a very simple example is, let's say you every day with your lunch, you have a Coca-Cola. Not a big deal. Not the worst thing in the world. It's not going to kill you. But if you decided, you know what, I want to make one little change, and you decide instead of having a Coca-Cola, and nothing wrong with Coca-Cola, don't want to scare off any sponsors.
They're not a sponsor.
But if you decided, you know what, instead of having that Coca-Cola, I'm going to have a, you know, whatever, club soda with lime or you know, something different. That's a small change, right? That I think a lot of people probably could make that change. And while small, if you think about that every day, every week, every month, every year, over time, all of the sugar that's not going in your body, all of those calories that's not going into your body, all the other sort of, you know, maybe other stuff that's in that beverage that's not going into your body, that will change your life. Will it be dramatic? No. Will it be something? Yes. And is it something that you can stick to, which is probably the most important thing? For a lot of people, I would argue probably yes. Some people, maybe not. Maybe that Coca-Cola is just too, and maybe that's not the change for them. You know, maybe there's something else that they can do. Maybe it's, you know, again, it's about developing healthy habits and or removing unhealthy habits. And if you can do those little changes at a time, they will add up to significant results. And as we were talking earlier, so many people that recognize they need to get healthy, whether their doctor says, hey, you need to lose weight, or they just don't feel good, or they don't feel like they look good, or whatever it may be, oftentimes the immediate sort of reaction is, oh, I need to join a gym. Oh, I need to go on that diet or this diet that I read about in whatever magazine. And Tom, you've seen this as well, and I don't have the statistics on this, but most people that jump into that extreme change, whether it's they've never exercised before and all of a sudden they're going to whatever gym 6 days a week for 2 hours a day, they're going to stop. They're not going to continue doing that for the most part. Like, it's too extreme. And same with an extreme diet. You know, they go from eating kind of whatever they want to saying, oh, you know what, I'm only eating X, or I'm eliminating X, Y, and Z, and that's how I'm going to live my life. You know, maybe it works for a week, maybe it works for 2 weeks, maybe it works for a month, but ultimately they'll probably fail and go back to where they started. And because it's often just because it's too much at once, it's too extreme. And really, again, I think it's about developing small, healthy habits that you can stick to over time.
I love it. You know, and Chris, you know, again, Chris and I have had this conversation for years. And what I really want you to understand is Chris and I are like deep into the fitness tech. Chris, I mean, if you look over here, I'm not going to name it. I mean, I have been sent more stuff in the past year than I have in my lifetime when it comes to fitness tech. So it's over there. It is a metabolic. It's something I'm going to put on my arm, and it's going to measure things. I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
If you go to my Instagram, it'll be up there. But my point is that Chris and I, we both started as trainers and, you know, at the bottom in New York City. And this is what I love about Chris is he has all the knowledge and experience, right, that we both share. And then we got into the fitness space and he created an amazing product. So as he started by saying, there's never been a better time. We have access. So, Chris, right, what we have to say is this is the tough love, is that COVID taught us something incredible when it comes to fitness. It's not about time. Right? It's not about time. It's not even, how can there be a COVID-15? People putting, you have all the time in the world. And I said this when COVID hit. Now you have time. So it's not about time, and that's okay. And it's not about money, because there's more free content, Chris, than ever before, right?
Absolutely.
Fitness trainers are giving it away on Instagram, whatever. So what Chris and I are telling you, and why I love this conversation, is it's about finding your why. And it's about, as Chris said, making those small changes, excessive moderation. As we're in my studio here, I'm looking at my books on the wall. I've got the covers. I put that on Instagram recently. The major blowback I get, Chris, from people, comments on my marathon books, books about the gym, working out, whatever it is this isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't enough.
Yep.
And as Chris is saying, yes, it is. And when I bring on people like David Garcia, who lost 160 pounds, kept it off for 10 years, Chris, he said exactly what you said. He said, I started by bringing my lunch to work.
Mm-hmm.
Small changes.
No, that's awesome. And that's such a great example. And I don't know, you know, the full details of David's story, but that example that you just provided, you know, he started with one little change that sounds insignificant, bringing your lunch to work, versus, I don't know exactly what else he was doing. Maybe he was going out for a pizza every day or McDonald's or whatever.
Wait, let me stop you there. Okay, because I'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
You know what he said, Chris? He said he took a different, he said he counted, I'm not going to get the number exactly right, but it was something like 12 different fast food places that he would pass by on the way to work. And he inevitably would stop at one of them or more. He changed the way he drove to work.
Yep.
That's small change.
That's brilliant. And that's such an interesting example, I think, that so many of us fall into. And that's funny with work. Like, you get a new job, you start commuting, you settle on that, those couple of, you know, restaurants that you pass by, whatever they may be. Maybe it's a Dunkin' Donuts that you, that first day of work, before you go to work, you go and you're grabbing your donut and your coffee. All of a sudden, that's, you're doing that every day, right? You're doing that 5 days a week or whatever it may be. And so you get into that habit. And that's a habit that so many people will fall into without thinking about it, without recognizing it or what have you. And then all of a sudden, it's day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month after month, year over year over year of that habit. And he made that change from not necessarily a positive habit as far as what he was selecting for lunch. And then he took kind of control of it and said, you know what, instead of like doing that thing every day, going to those three fast food chains every other day, I'm going to control what I bring. And again, if you kind of step back, that seems like such a small change, but that's the point.
And there are two words I want to pull out there, Chris, control and small. And you've probably said small, like, you know, 25 times. And, you know, I constantly find myself saying it too, and then thinking like, and saying there are no small steps. Those are the steps we want, right? So when you were a trainer, when I was a trainer, if someone came to us and said, I lost 7 pounds, you know, in 3 days, we'd go, no, right? That's water. And, and things. We don't want you to have those huge changes, as crazy as that may sound, because we know they're unsustainable, they're generally unhealthy, and they're unrealistic. So when we talk about small changes, we're also talking about what Chris is getting to is self-efficacy, right? I'm still studying sports psychology. When you are successful at that, we'll say small, because we don't have a better word yet. And we got to come up with one, Chris.
Micro.
There you
like
go.
The micro <He's> workout <plan. laughs>
I've got like 9,000 of my books in the studio. But it's true. It gives you confidence. It gives you situational confidence, right? So when you make that habit change, and David Garcia, then he started walking, you know, he would walk Chris before he went home, walk around the block a couple times. They build on themselves is what Chris and I are trying to tell you. And when you start feeling good about yourself, then it's all connected. And that's why I talk about Chris, like all these articles, like, is it cardio? Is it diet? Is it this or is it that? Is it strength training? It's all of the above. And when you make that small change, and I've said this, in your diet or your exercise, it leads to better changes in your diet or your exercise, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that snowball effect we're trying to get across to people that comes from small changes.
Absolutely. And it's the case of David, it was making that one step to his diet. And then, you know, that probably, you know, maybe he started to feel control of his life. And then maybe at some point he was like, you know what, I can do one other thing. And that apparently was walking a little bit. And it's, again, if you step back, these sound like very, 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 you know, insignificant changes. But again, if you do it every day one of the sort of formulas I like to think about, whether it's with nutrition or exercise or even moderation, is you have 7 days in a week. You want to win the week. So you want to have more good days than you have bad days, right? So you want to have at least four, and I'm using air quotes, good days, whether that's exercising or not having that Coca-Cola we were talking about earlier or whatever it may be, but kind of breaking it up into your week where it's, all right, I'm going to win the week. I'm going to win four out of those 7 days. Because if you only do 3 days, then you're losing the week. So anyway, that's sort of a formula I made up that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's one way to look at things.
Yeah, and kind of a way I talk about it, Chris, is if you're eating 5 to 6 meals a day, one or two, not perfect. And that's 80-20, right? If you actually do that. So it does come down to math. I'm oftentimes talking about the math and it frustrates people, but it simplifies it, right? So when Chris talked about the soda, let's say that's 250 to 300 calories. You cut that. And most people, by the way, let's be honest, aren't having one. They're having four. So let's not even say you're not even going to cut it out right away. You're going to cut it down to two. Right? Oh, but that's not what these diets tell you. Listen, let me say this, and Chris would agree, I'm sure. All diets work. All diets work short term. All diets are calorie reduction, and many of them flush your body of water as well. That's what you see. So they all work short term. You follow it. You are successful in it. It makes the person who wrote the diet book money, and then you feel bad about yourself. And that's what Chris is getting to and what I'm getting to is that's why these books drive us nuts. That's why these celebrity...
Not your books. Not your books.
Listen, the only book I wrote that has anything to do with food was my Swim, Bike, Run, Eat for triathlon. And it was really hard to write, Chris, because it's like, here's your carbs, here's your fat, here's your protein. Now figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So we can't say enough. And I just want to reemphasize that Chris and I have access to all of the top fitness equipment and all of that stuff. And you don't need that. And you can find it. And that's a reward. And we talk about that. But what you need is to feel good about yourself, to make the small changes that Chris talked about and change. Let me take it back. Not changes. One. Start with one.
Absolutely.
And it's one you don't, you know, brushing your, whatever it is. And it leads to so many things, but that doesn't sell books. Let me just say this too, Chris. I've said this before. I love the term excessive moderation. I've used it. It's in all my books after I came up with it. And I wanted it to be the title of my book. And the publisher and like the 20-something, so that is the dumbest title we've ever heard. But know that unless I publish it myself, you know, or find the right, the chances of that coming out are slim to none because that's not what sells.
Yep.
That's not what sells. And so if I said lose, you know, 30 pounds in 2 weeks, I get that book published. I will never publish that book. So our point is that the vast majority of the products and diets and programs out there are setting you up for failure. And it's not that they fail. That's what I want to just leave with, Chris, and hear your comments is you don't fail at the diet. You were successful. You did what they asked. The diet was going to fail as soon as you stop.
Yep. No, totally, totally agree. And actually, it's funny that you brought up the brushing the teeth and that one thing. It, like, you and I want people to lead healthier lives. Like, that's what we do for our careers is trying to help people lead healthier lives. And health is such a broad subject. Like it often comes down, the conversations and the books often comes down to, you know, losing weight and, you know, exercise and all that. But to your point, brushing your teeth is improving your health. Like if you don't, if let's say that you never brush your teeth, or you brush your teeth once a day instead of twice a day, like just starting your day with brushing your teeth is a healthy habit. Like that's a positive change to your health. Making your bed in the morning mentally can be a very healthy habit to kind of start your day off on the right foot. But again, you know, that's a little digression into.
But it's not. Yeah. But I don't think it is, Chris. Yeah. I don't think it is at all. Yeah. You know, because it's control. It's what you talked about with control. And I start off the micro workout plan actually saying in the first page, like, you have to believe you have control to make change.
Yep.
And far too often, these articles tell you you can't, right? It's your genetics. Don't bother. If you stop exercising, it's as if you never started, which is complete garbage, by the way. And all of that stuff that discourages people from ever starting.
Yep.
And you have to believe you have control. And I said, I mean, crazy. I said in those first couple of pages, Chris, like, if you don't, you can stop reading right now. But people have to believe that. And it's that control. I know that when I make my bed, I don't like making my bed. But as Chris said, when I do it, and there's that Navy guy, you read all these greater city memes, right?
Yep.
This is why I talk about eating breakfast. When we start our day doing something like that, it sets the whole day up, right, for success. And there are no small steps. So I had to stop you because making the bed leads to everything else as well.
Yep. And as we were saying before, if you're sort of don't know where to begin or you feel sort of helpless, it's finding that one thing to start with. And again, maybe it's brushing your teeth. Maybe it's making your bed. Maybe it's walking your dog for a little bit longer than normal. Maybe it's taking the steps. One thing to just start the change. And the very important point, I think, is not just doing that one thing, but that one thing that you know you can stick to, that you can stick to day after day, week after week, month after month, that it will add up as small as whatever it is, it will add up to something positive. And it may lead to, you know, the second thing or the third thing, but you don't need to worry about that. Start with one thing, one small thing that you can achieve and go from there.
Yeah. Chris and I were talking too, and he kind of alluded to it. So when I started in this industry many years ago, contributing to the magazines, this is decades ago, you know, they'd say, give us, you know, exactly what Chris is saying. Give us a couple tips to get in shape. And what was the ones we used to give, right? It was park farther away from, you know, the supermarket or your office, walk, take the stairs instead of the, all of those things. And years ago, all of those editors and writers said, stop giving us those things. We want things we've never heard before. So that's what you've been getting for decades. And I'm part of the problem, but I always wrote, like, you know, I'm still push-ups and planks and, you know, stuff that I know you could do. And the solution is taking the stairs and parking farther away and adding movement into your life. You can still go to the gym. You can still do all that stuff. And fitness tech is amazing. But as Chris started this whole conversation by saying, we've never had access to more content, free content. Fitness tech has never, the term hack, I want to just, you know. So you got to find your small changes that lead to, that add up, right? They don't ever even lead to big changes, Chris, right? I mean, not really. I mean, yes, you know, then someone will say, I think I can do a marathon. But it's because you have that self-efficacy, because you say, you know what, I've controlled these things. And then you shoot for the bigger goals. You know, let me say this. One of the coolest things about writing the books, Chris, is, you know, my 12-week triathlete book's been out for a long, long time. I mean, it's so dated at this point. But I'm following a guy on Instagram who just qualified for the Hawaii Ironman. And he did it at 9:18, which is so insanely fast.
Wow.
So insanely fast. And he started with my book.
Hmm.
Now, my book is like 12 weeks, you know, it's basic. But it's where you need to start. He now has an amazing coach, a professional coach. But my point is, you have to walk before you run. So he didn't, and part of it is not getting hurt and discouraged and all that stuff. So you start with books like mine, and then you can go for the bigger things, but you need to lay that foundation first.
100%. And the whole walk or crawl before you can walk, before you can run is also kind of along the same lines. Like, you got to start somewhere. You got to start moving. And in the case of the crawl, walk, run, and it really does come down to the basics. When you really step away from, again, looking at everything, you can look at all the crazy workouts that are out there on Instagram and all the, you know, crazy diets that are out there. But it really, really comes, you know, again, oftentimes what people are looking for when we talk about health is they want to lose weight. And really what it comes down to is caloric deficit. And it's like the very basics of, okay, what's going in your mouth and, you know, and what is your body doing throughout the day? Like it's those, that balance. And it's literally the basic. It's literally math. There's some, you know, there's some minor sort of fluctuations in genetics and all this stuff for sure. But at the end of the day, it's pretty much calories in, calories out.
You heard it here. Like this is not what people want to hear. Yes, a calorie is a calorie. And what I say, Chris, is when it comes to pure weight loss, a calorie is a calorie. When it comes to being healthy, of course not. So in other words, like I can put you on a Twizzler and Skittles diet, you're going to lose weight. And that's why all diets work short term. But about being healthy, it's about eating healthy foods, right? And that's why, topic for another day, I talk about don't focus on what you can't eat. Focus on what you can, right? True health comes from not, you know, Chris and I live in an area, and many of you probably do as well. There's a lot of skinny, unhealthy people, all right? So it's not about weight. At the end of the day, it's about being healthy. And Chris and I could go into, and we started talking about before we started the show, just the mental side to all this. I mean, we should do, you know, 4 hours. Chris has to go. But, you know, it's small changes. Get your focus off the weight loss. Chris, the weight loss comes. You know, that's what I always tell people. When you change that habit, when you actually make your bed and brush your teeth and eat a healthy breakfast and take the focus off the weight loss, suddenly 6 months down the road, you go, what happened? Like, I wasn't even paying attention, or maybe you were, but like, it happens. It happens when you take the focus off of the weight loss and focus on the healthy small changes.
Yep. Totally agree.
And it comes down to math. All right, I got to let Chris go. But let's give people the actionable takeaway. And you've already given it, right? Change one habit. And how long? Like I like to say a week, and it could be longer, right? So take one thing, as Chris said, and give it a week, maybe two. And that's it. Don't change anything else except that one thing. And then pick a second thing. And start working from there, right, Chris? Any other advice about?
I would say what you pick. Think about what you believe that you could pretty easily stick to every day, you know, day after day, week after week. And again, it can be as simple as brushing your teeth, for sure. But find one thing that you know that you could stick to, and it could be, you know, and it can also be not just doing something. It could be not doing something. Again, we talked about the soda thing. Like if there's one thing that you do that you know is not necessarily healthy, that you feel like you could stop doing that pretty easily, do it. Try that. Start with that.
Yeah. And let me say one more time, like I love my red wine. I'm not cutting out my red wine, but there's that trade-off, or you cut back, right? So in other words, if something's an unhealthy habit, sure, over time, you probably want to get rid of that to some degree. But when we're 80-20, there's no perfect, right? So if you're doing, as I said, 4 sodas a day, as most people who are really into sodas do, cut it down to 2 to start. Because here's the thing, and we'll leave you with this. Chris and I both know that over time, what you have to realize is suddenly you crave the healthy stuff. Suddenly you crave exercise. So there is that tipping point that is never talked about where right now you say, I love my soda. I can't live without it. And yes, you can. Or you can live with less. And you will enjoy it that much more, right, Chris? When you have it, when it's a true, you know, treat, dessert. Dessert was, you know, meant to be dessert, not all day long, right? So there is a point, is what Chris and I are trying to tell you, where it's not a struggle. It's not a struggle. I don't struggle, and I still have soda every now and again, go to fast food every now and again. I don't enjoy it as much. My body, as you get healthier, you crave the good stuff.
Yeah.
And you still have the other stuff. But that's our point, is there's such a huge light at the end of the tunnel. But I just love Chris's message because it aligns exactly with my excessive moderation. Start with one thing. And here's one final thing, Chris. Find other people to do it with too. Like, great, you know, get there's power numbers.
Absolutely. There's some great habit books out there and strategies for developing habits. Atomic Habits is an excellent book, by the way. And one of the sort of strategies for developing a healthy habit is partnering up with someone, whether it's your spouse or a friend or again, it's, you know, it's maybe you're going for a walk with your friend, you're meeting your friend or your neighbor every morning for a 10-minute walk. Maybe it's as simple as that. But to Tom's point, having a partner in crime has been proven to help develop or eliminate habits.
Yeah, I love it. All right, you have to go, don't you?
I do, pretty soon.
Chris is busy. Could not love this conversation more. Could not be more excited. And thank you, Chris, for coming in at these COVID into the studio. We are 6 feet apart, more than that. But no, I can't tell you how valuable. And I just love that, you know, we'll have celebrities on and we'll have guys like David Garcia and then people like Chris Blythe, who has been in all aspects of the industry. And what he's telling you is, I'm not going to give the products that he and I both. Yes, those are helpful, but they are not the solution. The solution is to change those habits, feel good about yourself, and learn what you can control. Chris, I end every show, and I will this one as well after you're gone, by saying there's three things we control: how much you move, what you put in your mouths, and your attitude. That's everything.
Everything.
And you're taken, that's been taken away from you. So enough, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah. Great to be here.
All right. We will be right back after one final break. I truly love this medium. I truly love the ability to bring you all of the different component parts to help you have your best life. That includes the fitness experts, Denise Austin, Dr. Brad Schoenfeld, Dr. Daniel Lieberman, celebrities to get you motivated, Baz Rutan, just that mix of people. And then Chris Blythe. You know, the message from Chris, as I said at the start of the show, should surprise you. We are in the business. We're in the business of selling you stuff when it comes to that aspect. Like, listen, I write books. I do many different things, but, you know, the equipment's part of it. But it's not the solution. It's not, oh, if I only had that bike, if I only had that treadmill. No, it goes back to becoming an expensive coat hanger. It is all part of the equation. And that's why I frequently talk about these horrific articles that say, here's the one way. No. It's the small changes over time that teach you you have control. And that control builds. And that self-efficacy builds. And that confidence in yourself and your ability to control what you can in a world that's so chaotic is so empowering. And that, as Chris said, and I wish we talked for 5 hours because there's so much more to talk about. But he said it's all connected. And it's so interesting to talk to someone like Chris, because there's just very few people in the industry, I have to say, like Chris and I, who survive, make a living, and that preach the truth. The small changes, the excessive moderation, the stuff that it's really hard to get out there, and I'm so thankful to iHeartRadio to give me this medium to do it. And I do it in my books and lectures and all those things as well. But there are no small changes. Make your bed, brush your teeth. It all builds. Makes you feel good about yourself. You go for that walk. You make better food choices. You have better relationships. You make more money. It's all connected. And we have to find a new word instead of small. They're just changes. But we have to use the term small because it clarifies. But small does not mean insignificant. The only way to be successful long term are to make those changes that are smaller over time, that build. Thank you to Chris Blythe. What a great conversation. Again, wish I could talk to him for hours, and I will have him back because there's a couple other topics that I know will, you know, be super helpful to you when it comes to these topics about what you need and to make sense of this confusing world. But I don't want you to get down on yourself ever for not getting it right away, not understanding that what you've been, you know, told was the way is not the way. It's not about quick fixes. It's not about celebrities who have no training or experience in diet, nutrition, exercise, any of it. It's about listening to people who have studied it, who have done it, like Chris Blythe and myself, because we want you to have a better life. That is one of the coolest parts of the conversation I had with Chris right, you know, after we stopped recording, was that we want to see change. We're tired of people spending the money and not getting results. So make that change and see how it affects everything going forward. Please subscribe to the show if you have not already, and rate it and comment on it if you can. I love it. Love to hear and read those comments, especially the ones, you know, that talk about, wow, it is, it's the simple common sense stuff. Yeah, what if you actually followed it? What if you actually made those small changes? You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. Tom H. Fit is my Instagram and Twitter, Tom H. Fit. You can reach out to me through those two ways, as well as going to fitnessdisrupted.com. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Chris Blythe for coming into the studio. Fun to have someone in here. I hope to get many more guests when COVID is over into the studio itself. But, you know, it's working the way it's working now as well. All right. Let me know what that small change is. Reach out. There's power in putting it out there as well. And this whole show, this show itself and Fitness Disrupted in and of itself, it's all about control. We control how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. Take control of those things and take control slowly, and you'll be amazed at the results. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.